This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Sydney Museo from Compassion International, and we're going to be talking about COVID-19 today and how it's affecting kids and families in poverty. And Sydney, I've been watching your update page on the website for Compassion, and it says that some people connected to Compassion have actually died from COVID-19. Are you allowed to tell us anything about that?
Well, because the people that are connected tend to be children and parents, we have rules around confidentiality. So we do not talk about their names, for example, just trying to respect the privacy. Again, we have to be very careful as an organization that we are respecting their sense of dignity at a time when they're grieving. So we do not go into the details around the deaths.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. Let's take a step back and look at the broader picture. You guys work in a ton of countries. Which ones are most affected by the pandemic? Are there some countries more affected than others?
Yes, some countries are more affected than the others. Currently, we are seeing Brazil just shooting through the roof. Peru is one more country that we are concerned about. Ecuador has also gone through a very difficult time. So the other countries that we are watching are Bangladesh. We're also watching Indonesia. And in Africa, we are watching Tanzania.
And could you explain for us why something like this tends to hit impoverished families harder than others?
There are many reasons why the poorest of the poor and vulnerable families get the worst of this. To begin with, at the very highest level, many of the countries we work in do not have the healthcare systems that are robust enough, even at the best of times. So we already find populations that have never quite accessed the healthcare they need, whether that's catching up with vaccinations or with regular checkups or dealing with chronic diseases. They're always challenged. Just to give an example, malaria is an ongoing situation that we have to work through all the time. So we do not have healthcare systems that are strong enough to deal with a pandemic like this one. Secondly, when populations that we work with have lived lives of poverty, their general immunity tends to be compromised because again, they're not getting balanced meals. The nutritional intake is typically compromised. So when you encounter a pandemic like this COVID-19, that tends to exacerbate the situation. So they are compromised from an infrastructural perspective, from a healthcare perspective, they are in a very worse situation already.
And in some places, your church partners, Compassion's church partners, can still go in and help people. Can you describe what they're doing?
Yes. So many of our church partners have really been heroic in how they're responding to this situation. Every single one of the churches that we work with has pivoted quickly to one, provide food, which has become such a big need. Practically every single one of our families we work with has been in need of food for the simple reason that many of the countries have put in restrictions around movement, and those restrictions have impacted the parents that we work with. Many of them, the majority of them, are daily wage laborers. So when you stop their going out to work, it basically means that they're making a choice between staying at home and starving. So many of our churches have responded and made sure that we're providing food packs to families. The second way that the church partners have responded to this need is by providing soap, sanitizers, and masks that are locally made to these families. So that has been really wonderful to see. Thirdly, and this is really also exciting, many pastors have tried to use digital means that they can access, whether that is WhatsApp or just plain old phone calls, so that they can continue providing pastoral care to the families. Again, the restrictions have meant that churches are not operating as normal, so there are limited gatherings. So pastors have had to adapt and innovate, just as you have seen in other parts of the world, and ensuring that pastoral care and counseling and mental well health are being addressed at this time. So those have been some of the ways that the churches have truly and remarkably and heroically in many ways responded to the situation.
And we, MNN, were carried on radio and online in the US and Canada and around the world. As people hear this story and learn about the needs of impoverished families, how would you like them to respond?
Well, one of the ways that I would love them to respond is prayer. Of course, as believers, that is fundamental to who we are. Praying for the churches that are in the developing world, praying for the leaders, that they would have the energy and the wisdom and the courage and really the innovation necessary to be able to meet this situation in a way that reflects that the church is truly the people of God, responding in a way that is God honoring. So pray for that. Many of the pastors have also been stressed out. They're in the same situation. So praying for their well-being is essential. I think the second way they can pray is they can support. I think the second way they can help is by giving. This is not the time to not give. The needs are tremendous, and the needs will be with us for a long time. I was talking with one national director from Brazil, telling us that 100% of the parents that we work with in that country are out of job. So the financial needs will continue to increase. And if there's an opportunity to give, I would encourage that. At the same time, it's important to point out that many churches also pray for our supporters in the developing world. We have also seen what's going on in the news, and we know that many have also lost jobs. So we are together truly as the family of God in the praying, in the giving, and in the receiving. And I think those are the things that will set the church apart globally on how we respond during this season.
Beautifully said. Thank you. That wraps up my questions for now. Was there anything I missed or anything else you'd like to add?
No, the only other thing I would like to add is from a health perspective, just the whole healthcare, concepts like social distancing are not playing out as the way they should, according to the guidance we're getting from World Health Organization or the healthcare professionals. It's difficult for the children, the youth, the families that we work with to practice social distance. In the first place, many live in very small houses, and those houses do not have toilets, sanitation facilities, or water. If you need to go to the bathroom, typically you have to go out. If you want to get water, you have to travel out. They do not have fridges to store food. They don't have that. So if you need to get food, you probably have to go out. And again, just given the culture that is tends to be very social, that makes very difficult to contain this COVID-19 virus. Again, goes just to prove that the way it is going to escalate is something that can be pretty worrying, and we are seeing that in different countries simply because people can't social distance as ordinarily they would in other countries.